Right. So, you know how in law school they love throwing these like classic contract scenarios at you?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And it's like you really got to know when what's actually like written in the contract goes up against like the whole idea of, you know, everyone being fair and square.
Right. Like what's on the paper versus what's kind of like the assumed good faith.
Exactly. That's what we're diving into today, and it's something you'll definitely see in your studies.
Absolutely, a contracts classic.
So you sent over a bunch of stuff about a specific
Yeah,
case.
so it was a good one.
It is Consumers International, Inc. versus Cisco Corporation. Plus, we've got the standard brief format. You know, always good to refresh on that.
Always helpful.
And even some analysis from Perplexity. So our goal today is to really unpack this Consumers International case, figure out how Arizona law looks at those no-cause clauses in distribution agreements.
Right, because those can get tricky, especially when you bring in the implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing.
Yeah, that's a mouthful, but it's basically like a baseline expectation that everyone's going to act honestly.
Exactly. You can't just use a contract to be sneaky or screw someone over.
Okay, so before we dive in, remember, this case is about a distributor, Consumers International, or CI, and their supplier, Cisco.
Right, so not a franchise situation, which has a whole different set of rules.
So important to keep that in mind. All right, so back in 1993, CI and Cisco, they make this master distribution agreement. Cisco is supposed to supply like 80% of CI's
Wow,
products.
80%. Sounds like CI was really relying on them.
Yeah, pretty much putting all their eggs in the Cisco basket.
Which is important to remember as we go through the case. CI definitely used that reliance in their arguments later on.
Interesting. So then we get to this termination clause, and that's where things get spicy.
Uh-oh, what happened?
So the agreement says either side can end the deal with just 60 days' notice. No reason needed, like no cause whatsoever, just a clean break option.
That's pretty common in contracts between businesses, especially big ones. You know, it gives both sides a way out if things change, like an escape hatch.
Exactly. Escape hatch is a good way to put it. So fast forward to December 1993. Cisco decides, hey, we're using that escape hatch. They give CI the 60-day notice. Termination's effective February 94. Then in 1995, CI sues.
Wait, so they waited like a year to sue? What was their argument?
Their main argument was that Cisco terminating the agreement, even with that no-cause clause, was a breach of the implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing. Like, yeah, you could terminate, but you didn't act fairly while you did.
So it's like the contract says one thing, but the whole idea of fair play should override that.
Exactly. It's that tension between explicit terms and implicit expectations. Really interesting legal stuff. And the Arizona Court of Appeals, where this case ended up, they sided with Cisco.
Interesting. So they said the contract was clear and that's what matters.
Yep. They really emphasize that the written terms win out. You know freedom of contract. You agree to something, you're bound by it.
Right, like especially when we're talking about businesses that presumably have lawyers and understand the terms.
Exactly. And that was one of the things the court focused on. Both CI and Cisco were sophisticated companies with legal counsel, not just individuals making a deal. So the court figured they knew what they were getting into.
Yeah, that makes sense. If you have lawyers and you sign a contract, the court's going to assume you understood it.
Right. Now, another interesting thing the court pointed out was how the termination clause itself was written. In the same agreement, there were other sections that did list specific reasons for termination, for cause termination, like if CI did something wrong or went bankrupt.
So they had for cause clauses right next to the no cause
Yeah.
clause. Seems like they were trying to be really clear about different situations.
Yeah, and the court picked up on that. They figured if the parties meant for good cause to be needed in every termination, they wouldn't have included this separate no cause option. It was like they were intentionally creating different paths for ending the agreement.
Okay, I'm starting to see why the court sided with Cisco. It seems like the contract was pretty clear.
Now, another crucial point is the legal environment at the time. Back then, Arizona didn't have any specific laws saying no-cause termination clauses in these types of agreements were a no-go.
Right. And we talked about the difference with franchise agreements earlier. Franchise agreements often have more regulations because of the power dynamic between the franchisor and the franchisee.
Exactly. But the court here said, look, Arizona hasn't done that for distribution agreements, so we're not going to read a good cause requirement into this contract.
Makes sense. They're sticking to the written law and the specific context of this agreement.
Okay, so we've talked about the implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing. It's this underlying idea that everyone's going to act honestly in a contract. but it's important to understand what it can and can't do.
Right. It's not a free pass to just ignore the terms of a contract.
Exactly. So the court here made it clear that the implied covenant doesn't just magically add a good cause requirement when the contract already allows for no cause termination.
So what does the implied covenant do in this kind of situation?
Well, think of it like a safety net. It's there to prevent a party from being totally shady. Like, imagine if Cisco had terminated the agreement not because their business strategy changed, but because they wanted to steal CI's customers.
Oh, yeah, that would be messed up.
Right. That would be acting in bad faith, even if they technically had the right to terminate. The implied covenant is there to make sure nobody is using the contract to screw the other party over.
So it's more about preventing abuse of the contract rather than rewriting it.
Exactly. And the court specifically said there was no evidence Cisco was doing anything like that. They just made a business decision to end the deal. Nothing sneaky or malicious.
Okay, that makes sense. They weren't trying to take advantage of CI. They just wanted out.
Right. Now, CI did try to argue that they had reasonable expectations that Cisco would only terminate for a good reason, even though the contract didn't say that.
Seems like a tough argument to make. If it's not in the contract, how can you say it was a reasonable expectation?
Yeah, the court wasn't buying it. They said CI's subjective feelings about what was reasonable couldn't trump the clear language of the contract, especially since the agreement had both for cause and no cause termination clauses.
Yeah, that seems pretty decisive. The contract spelled out different options, and CI can't just ignore the ones they don't like.
All right, so let's bring it all home. What are the key takeaways from this Consumers International case for all our future lawyer listeners out there?
Well, the big one is draft your contracts carefully, especially termination clauses. If your client wants certain protections like requiring good cause for termination, get that in writing. Don't rely on assumptions or the implied covenant to do the work for you.
Super important. Get it in writing is the golden rule of contract law.
Absolutely. And remember, courts are generally going to enforce contracts as written. So make sure you understand exactly what you're agreeing to before you sign.
And don't overestimate the power of the implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing. It's there to prevent bad faith actions, but it's not going to rewrite a contract or create obligations that aren't already there.
Right. It's about ensuring parties act honestly within the existing terms, not about adding new terms or changing the agreement.
And finally, remember that different types of agreements have different rules and regulations.
Yeah, like we were saying with franchise agreements, those often have specific laws protecting franchisees that wouldn't apply to a regular distribution agreement.
Exactly. So always do your research and know the legal landscape for the specific type of agreement you're dealing with. Context matters a lot in contract law.
Couldn't agree more. Context is key.
So to wrap up our deep dive into Consumers International versus Cisco, clear contract terms win. Especially no cause termination clauses in agreements between sophisticated parties. The implied covenant doesn't rewrite those terms. And draft your contracts with laser-like precision to avoid headaches down the road.
Well said. Clarity is key.
Now, here's a final thought for you to ponder. Imagine you're drafting a distribution agreement today. How would you balance protecting your client while still giving both parties the flexibility they need in a business relationship? What would your ideal termination clause look like?
Oh, that's a good one. It's that constant lawyer struggle of balancing clarity with flexibility.
Right. It's a fascinating area of law, and one we'll definitely be revisiting in future deep dives. Until then, keep those legal brains sharp and happy contracting.
Absolutely.
All right, that's it for today. Thanks for joining us on the deep dive.
It was a pleasure being here.
We'll catch you next time.